Wolves Cast, audio on demand.
Welcome into another episode of Wolves Cast Audio on Demand. John Fokey alongside Cal Soderquist here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. Coming up on this episode, we'll go three in the key, the top three storylines this week in the NBA. But Cal, the top three storylines change hourly, daily. So we've got plenty to get to in that. Obviously, we'll talk about the big Blake Griffin trade to the Detroit Pistons, the ramifications, and maybe what's next for both the Pistons and the LA Clippers. We'll also shine the spotlight on Andrew Wiggins. Andrew has played very well against his hometown Toronto Raptors. Of course, Minnesota north of the border trying to snap a 13-game losing streak in Toronto. That game coming up later tonight. So we'll sit down with Andrew Wiggins. And of course, we'll take a look at maybe the month that was here for Minnesota. And Cal, let's start right there. We knew coming into the new year that January was going to be a beast for Minnesota. League high 17 games at the beginning of the month. 11 of those were against teams above 500. As we really got rolling in this schedule, there was very little practice time. Minnesota had to deal with some injuries. Jeff Teague was out. He had Jimmy Butler and Jamal Crawford missing some time as well. And yet, Minnesota was able to take care of business at home. A perfect month of January at Target Center, where they've now won 10 straight. And on the road, they've suffered a couple of disappointing losses, including last night against Atlanta, against a Hawks team that going into that game had the worst record in the league. But, you know, overall, Minnesota's been able to survive this month of January. And still, as we wrap things up going into play tonight, the final game in January for the Wolves, they've got a half-game lead over Oklahoma City for the fourth spot in that Western Conference. So impressive that with all of that, Minnesota is still in the same spot at the end of the month that they were at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the term survive, and I think that's adequate because it was going to be always very tough. And then when you factor in some of the injuries the team had to deal with, I think those were very positive developments that, you know, when Jimmy Butler missed a couple games very early in the season, the team looked lost, frankly, in those
back
two
20
losses.
Point losses, yeah.
And now when he misses four games and you can split those two, go 500 in those two games with a couple impressive wins, it speaks to where the team has come and kind of everyone feeling more comfortable in their roles, even if Jimmy or someone has to miss a little bit of time. And it's great to have Jimmy back as well. But I think this month was always going to be about keeping your head above water, surviving it as best you can, continuing to build those habits. And Tom Thibodeau even mentioned this, I think in our pregame show last night, that now as the calendar will turn to February, there's a little bit more practice opportunity and a little bit more film time and a little bit more time here in Minneapolis to even really zero in on some of those inconsistencies that they'll want to correct as we get closer and closer to that second season, the postseason. So I'm excited. I think overall it was a great stretch of January when you consider everything the team had to deal with, and excited to see if they can build off it now.
Yeah, I would say encouraged by the month of January. That again, we knew it was going to be trouble, not a lot of practice time, but now as you look ahead, knowing that, you know, Minnesota's past the 50-game mark, and once they come home after this current trip, they're going to be home all the way until Tuesday. And I was trying to think, Cal, when the last time the Wolves have gone back-to-back days without a game, and I cannot for the life of me think of it. They've played either back-to-backs or every other day. I mean, it's been incredible how many games they've jammed in here to the month of January, and if they did have a day off, they were getting on a flight to travel somewhere, and you're walking through in a ballroom or a hotel lobby where you're trying to run through some things. So knowing that you've got the toughest part in terms of number of games and surviving out of the way, and now coming out of All-Star break, you know, Minnesota's got one of those large gaps in the schedule that other teams have had up to this point. And I think it's about a 6-day break at the beginning of March where you're going to be home and you're going to have an opportunity to drill in on some things. You're also going to have an opportunity to rest, to recuperate a little bit. And I think this is a great opportunity here for Minnesota to fine-tune some things, to clean some things up. I mean, we hear the term slippage all the time, and, you know, there's been slippage on the defensive end, and there's going to be, but when you only have limited time to practice, you can't necessarily drill in on all those different things. You've got to pick some high-level stuff, and, oh, by the way, you've got a game the next day, so you got to be running through the scouting report. So You know, that there's, looking back at this month of January, there's games that you'd love back. You'd love that Brooklyn game at Brooklyn back. You'd love that Orlando game at Orlando back. Obviously, you'd love that Atlanta game back from last night, you know, against teams that, as Taj Gibson said on our postgame show, aren't playing for the same things that we're playing for right now. And I hope that coming out of this month, too, it serves as somewhat of a wake-up call for Minnesota. And the guys all say it, you know we can't take anybody lightly in this league. We know that. But just, I think that next step for this team, and you look at teams like Golden State, you know, San Antonio in their heyday, you know, those good teams that were great year in and year out, they didn't lose those types of games, but they had to get there, you know. It's a step-by-step process, as Coach Tibbs talks about all the time. And so I think the next step for this group, hey, you've gone out on the road and you've beat some very good teams and you've taken care of business shorthanded at home against very good teams, but to go into Atlanta, to go into Orlando, you know, despite the circumstances, whether it's 5-7 nights or, you know, you're wrapping up that busy stretch earlier in the month when the Wolves fell at Brooklyn, you just find a way to win those games. You get the necessary stops and you close it out. And so I think that's the next step for Minnesota. But encouraged by the fact that we're going to hopefully close out the month of January still in that four spot, knowing that you've got practice time coming up and knowing that you're going to have some stretches at home, not just for home games where Minnesota has taken care of business, I believe 20-6 at home this season, and certainly 10 straight. So playing great at home, and hopefully they can take advantage over the second half of this season.
That's huge. Yeah, I think you mentioned too that February is going to be a little more kind in terms of the home games. And we heard Jimmy Butler more than anyone else, I think, basically from day one say, we want to establish something here at home. We want a home court advantage. You mentioned that they're going to be perfect in the month of January at home, and it's 10 straight wins. That's big, because you play well at home. You play consistently well at home. The fans take notice, and then they start to create that hostile atmosphere for your opponents on a night-in, night-out basis. And then when teams come in, they say, oh, great, we got to go against the Wolves, and we got to go against these fans at Target Center. Jimmy Butler has mentioned that countless times, that that's really something they want to build here at Target Center, and I think they're well on their way, and I'm excited to see that continue to build as the team continues to sort of mess around here in the top four of the Western Conference and fight for some playoff positioning. Football is over now in this town, in this state.
Whoa, we got 1 week left. Come on.
One more big game, not involving the Vikings, unfortunately, but then fans will really start to turn their attention, I think, to basketball, and they can really make an exciting atmosphere here at Target Center.
Well, I'm looking forward to an exciting atmosphere later this week. Of course, Minnesota unveiling the City Edition jerseys on Thursday. They welcome in Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. And then on Saturday, unfortunately, DeMarcus Cousins out for the season with that ruptured Achilles. We'll talk more about that in our Three in the Key segment. But great opportunity here for the Wolves to be at home, to have some great crowds, star-studded crowds, as we expect here with the amount of celebrities and folks that are in town for the big game coming up at U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday. But, you know, there's just going to be great energy in these games. And, you know, I know it's been a busy stretch here for the Wolves, closing out January with 5-7. But when you get home, a place where you've played well, and the place is going to be packed for both those games, there's going to be a lot of adrenaline, a lot of energy. And, man, it would be fun to see the Wolves. You really put on a show, because the national spotlight is on the city of Minneapolis, and you want to put your best foot forward and take advantage of that. So really looking forward to this. And we should mention Milwaukee coming into town. We talked about it on the podcast last week, letting Jason Kidd go. They haven't lost since. Unbelievable. And we talked, Cal, it's, you know, basically saying that, you know, in listening to that press conference after they did let Jason Kidd go, that it sounded like they weren't quite sure what their plan was. You know, Prunty was going to step in and take over, but they were going to reevaluate things on Thursday. And then, you know, looking ahead to the offseason, they were really going to go full in on a coaching search. And yet, Joe Prunty stepped in, and they have not lost. And so I haven't looked at Milwaukee's schedule to see whether they play tonight or tomorrow, but there's a chance that Minnesota could face an undefeated Bucks team led by Joe Prunty and Giannis Antetokounmpo in a big matchup in front of a packed house with the city jerseys and everything. That could be a really fun atmosphere and fun game coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, four straight wins for them since that change, and we kind of mentioned it in that podcast that this could be a wake-up call for some of these players, because they're not still that young team with all that unlimited potential that's going to take years and years. They're a talented team with plenty of capable guys.
And playoff experience.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that just boggled my mind, that they kept kind of using that narrative that these guys haven't done anything together. The core of that group has been to the playoffs twice, I believe, in the last 4 years.
And they should have Jabari Parker back soon. He won't play in that game on Thursday against the Wolves, but he's close. And
I think he said he'll be back on Friday.
There you go.
Against the Knicks.
So, and what I'm excited for Thursday is these two teams, they always play each other close. I don't know if it's, you know, back when Jabari was healthy for those matchups, and you've got the Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker angle. Otherwise, Giannis and Kat are two very unique kind of unicorn type players with their size and their skill set. But it's almost a shame that we don't get to see them more mm-hmm. than just twice a season because of how fun the matchups are individually. And just two, you've got two fan bases that border each other, kind of like you see in other sports, that rivalry almost exists there just because of that. So I'm excited for Thursday for sure.
All right, get your tickets, Timberwolves.com. Get them right now because we're imagining with everybody in town for the big game that these games, both Thursday against Milwaukee, 7 o'clock tip for that one, and then Saturday against New Orleans, 8 o'clock tip, that they are going to be packed houses. So Timberwolves.com, get your tickets. We'll see you down here this weekend at Target Center. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Still to come, Cal rejoins me. We go 3 in the key, the top 3 storylines this week in the NBA. But next, conversation with Andrew Wiggins right here on Wolvescast Audio on Demand.
The Timberwolves are back, and so is College Night, presented by U.S. Bank. For select home games, college students can get upper-level tickets for $10 with a valid college ID on game day or by using a valid .edu email address online. Visit Timberwolves.com/College Night for more information. Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Wolvescast Audio on Demand continues. John Fokey here. Coming up, Cal Sotaquist will rejoin me. We'll take a look at the top 3 storylines this week in the NBA. But first, with the Wolves in Toronto tonight, the hometown of Andrew Wiggins, we wanted to shine the spotlight on the man they call Maple Jordan.
Andrew, if you could, describe your style of play for us.
I feel like my style of play is I can do everything. You know, I like to score the ball, defend. You know, make plays, make others better.
If there was one go-to move that you had, you know, time's running out on the clock, they get it to you, what would be your go-to move?
I don't think I really got one when the time's running down. You know, I just kind of let it come to me.
That spin move of yours is one of your signature moves. Where did that develop, and how do you know which way you're going to go and how to execute it?
I've kind of been doing it since high school, you know, and it's kind of just what I feel, kind of like a reaction.
And just feel where the defense is and go the other way?
Yeah.
Outside of basketball, how do you spend your time?
Outside of basketball, play video games, go for walks, hang with my friends or my dog.
I know family is very important to you. How fun is it watching, whether it's your sisters playing basketball or spending time with your family away from the court?
No, it's always good, you know, spend time with your family, you know, because they were there your whole life. You know, you're comfortable around them, you feel safe around them. You know, that's your motivation. That's what you do it for.
Coach Tibbs, you've played under him now for one season. First, your impressions of him, and how is he different from other coaches that you've had in the past?
First, your impression, he's a great coach, you know, great coach, loves to teach defense, loves to watch defense, you know. He's different from other coaches just because he's very vocal, you know, very hands-on.
How does he motivate you guys, especially on that defensive end?
He just motivates you to do better. You know, motivates you to give it your all. You know, when he'll be in the court, in your face. You know, just being vocal, not in a disrespectful way, but trying to just, you know, get you motivated. You know, gets everyone motivated, brings everyone in, doesn't leave no one out. He makes sure everyone's a part.
He's known for his meticulous study of video. How did that translate to you? Did you feel in that first year you watched more video and learned from those things?
Definitely. You know, he watched film after every game. You know, every road trip we traveled and we have a meeting in film. So
when you watch film, what are certain things that you're looking for?
Just stuff that I've done wrong, stuff that I've done good, stuff that's working, stuff that's not working. You know, just things that make the game better.
Do you study film of other players and there's a move that I can take. There's, you know, they're guarding this certain guy that way. Here's how he gets it, and kind of look at other players, whether past or present.
Yeah, I look at a lot of players.
What are some of the things that you learned from that film?
The different ways to score and different defenses, different defenses like help side and when to go, where to be at certain times.
Is there a player, past or present, who you pattern your game after or want to emulate in any way?
I watch a lot of Kobe.
What do you like about his game?
Has no weakness. You know, he can do everything.
Very good. Thanks, Andrew.
No problem.
Wiggins has faced the Raptors 7 times in his career and is averaging over 25 points a game against them, including going off for 29 in the Wolves' win over Toronto just a few weeks back here at Target Center. All right, keep it right here. Cal Soderquist is back next. We'll take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA as we go 3 in the key right here on WolvesCast Audio On Demand.
Suit up like the Pack in the newly renovated team store located on the Skyway level of Target Center. Shop the newest in Timberwolves apparel, including jerseys, on-court gear, hats, and more. Visit TimberwolvesTeamStore.com or stop by the team store at Target Center today. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
All right, back here on WolvesCast Audio On Demand, John Fokey alongside Cal Soderquist. Time right now to go 3 in the key, the top three storylines this week in the NBA. And why don't we start with the biggest news of the week that came down yesterday. Blake Griffin has been shipped from the LA Clippers off to the Detroit Pistons. Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed join him. Meanwhile, Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, Avery Bradley, and a couple of draft picks head from Detroit to the LA Clippers. Before we break this one down, let's hear from Pistons head coach and general manager Stan Van Gundy on what he thinks of this trade and this deal that went down.
You know, our thinking was this. The hardest thing to do in this league is to get a proven star. And it's just very hard to do. It's hard to do in free agency. It's hard to do in trades. You get very few opportunities to do it. The guy's a five-time All-Star. He's been an All-NBA guy. Puts you in the top 15 guys in the league. He's only 28 years old. We know the injury history. That's the risk on it. But that risk was worth it because of the talent that we're bringing back.
All right, so there you go, Stan Van Gundy. And, yes, the Detroit Pistons now have their superstar. And it's interesting, you know, I hadn't really thought about this because you think of Andre Drummond as a big-name player, right? Tobias Harris maybe not so much, but a guy that certainly has the potential. But driving home last night after our game and listening to NBA Radio, their post-game show, that was one thing that the host kept saying is Detroit needed a superstar. They moved into this brand new arena. They needed somebody to put butts in the seats. And certainly Blake Griffin is one of those guys. But it was interesting that Detroit really did not have a superstar. They were a collection of guys, you know, that played four out, one in around Andre Drummond, similar type setup to, you know, what Stan Van ran in Orlando with Dwight Howard. But Drummond, not the star necessarily that Howard was, just in terms of personality and everything. But now you bring Blake Griffin in, and Blake is that type of a star, but not necessarily the guy that you're going to play four out, one in with. So kind of interesting to see how this one will fit, how those pieces will fit for Stan Van Gundy and the Detroit Pistons.
And it's interesting, too, and it's almost funny that the scenario for Blake or the situation that he's surrounded with is similar to what he had in L.A. with that traditional back-to-the-basket monster of a seven-footer. He still has that in Andre Drummond, and then Reggie Jackson isn't on Chris Paul's level, but you've got that ball-dominant point guard of sorts who can still toss those alley-oops up. So I'm very curious to see if Detroit makes an effort to put the ball in Blake's hands more. We saw that a little bit this season in L.A., and if he's more of a point forward, a creator, a distributor, because he has that skill set. But, yeah, they pushed all these chips in on Blake, and he has the injury history, and Stan Van Gundy mentioned that, but they're ready, I think, to just make him that centerpiece. And then Andre Drummond maybe doesn't have as much attention surrounding him as well. You can have that inside-outside combo. But and then from an L.A. perspective, they've got still competitive pieces now, but they also, it seems like they have one eye on competing with these guys they're bringing in. but then also amassing some of those, you know, quote-unquote future assets that can help them rebuild as well.
I really feel like with Detroit, what they've got to do is, as you said, put the ball in Blake's hands. I mean, right now they're missing Reggie Jackson. He's still working his way back from that ankle injury, but Blake can do so much. And I know we talked about it last week just in terms of how his game has evolved since he came into the league, but, you know, we saw him on Monday night a week ago at Staples Center coming down and throwing lobs to, you know, their bigs, to Montrezl Harrell and some of those other guys. And so he could do that now with Andre Drummond, which with Drummond's size and leaping ability, you know, that makes your life that much easier. But, you know, it's also he can step out. He's got three-point range, so he can, you know, help balance the floor in that regard. Great at the elbows in terms of distributing the dribble handoffs, setting a quick screen, rolling to the basket, finishing on a lob. I think he gives them a lot of versatility, and, you know, it's going to be up to Stan Van Gundy to make sure that he and Drummond don't crowd the paint together, because, you know, they need a space to operate. And I think by bringing in a guy like Blake, who, as you mentioned, has already had that experience with Andre Drummond, he's going to be able to pick it up a lot quicker than maybe somebody who hadn't had that experience. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch. Unfortunately, the Wolves already done with the Detroit Pistons this season, so we won't get to see it in person. But certainly Blake brings them a little bit of cachet. But, you know, what? Again, I go back to what I was listening to on NBA radio last night, and they said that they feel like Detroit's not done. They feel like they've got to make another move to get a true facilitator in there. But I think you make a great point about Reggie Jackson being a ball dominant point guard in the mold that Chris Paul was, obviously not on that level. Sure. So Blake could be a guy that he can figure it out very quickly in terms of playing off of a guy like Reggie Jackson and off of Andre Drummond. So, you know, when the news first came down that this deal was happening, I think I was shocked like everybody else. But just in terms of looking at how quickly Blake can get up to speed, I credit Stan Van Gundy for seeing an opportunity, taking advantage of it, and trying to put his team in the best possible position. All right, we'll move to topic number two here, three in the key, the top three storylines around the NBA. A couple of season-ending injuries over the weekend, and we'll lay them both out for you. And, Cal, I just want to get your take on maybe which one impacts the team more. Andre Robertson of the Oklahoma City Thunder, patella tendon injury, done for the season. Robertson, a huge part of what the Thunder do defensively. Meanwhile, DeMarcus Cousins ruptured Achilles for the New Orleans Pelicans, coming off a game in which he scored, or in which he posted a triple-double. So you see his versatility, and obviously, you know, we've seen the Pelicans up close and personal three times already this season, and Cousins put up monster numbers. So removing DeMarcus Cousins from New Orleans, bigger impact than removing Andre Robertson from Oklahoma City?
That's a tough one. I think they're closer than a lot of people might assume at first glance. And I just think with all the different ways, especially this season, that DeMarcus Cousins was impacting the game for New Orleans. The assist numbers were incredible. The rebound numbers. And he was on pace to post some historic averages, mm-hmm. I think. And it's a real shame to see him go down because he was playing so well.
And because he's in a contract year.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's just like you feel for a guy in that situation that the numbers he was putting up, you know, put him in, as you mentioned, in some rarefied air, which meant whether he wanted to stay with New Orleans or whether he wanted to sign with somebody else, he was going to, you know, put himself in a great, great position to sign the biggest contract that he could. Now there's going to be some question marks because he's a big guy trying to come back from a very serious injury to that Achilles. And, you know, we look at Wes Matthews, who was signed after rupturing his Achilles tendon in Portland and still signed to a big deal by the Dallas Mavericks. But, you know, Wes, he's not as big physically as DeMarcus Cousins, and it's taken him a long time to get back. And I don't think he's still yet the player that he was before the injury. So, you know, you really feel for Cousins at the timing of this and everything else, and how it impacts his future moving forward in terms of playing the game, but also financially.
Well, even for the Pelicans too. I mean, it's going to be a big sort of topic and decision to make when the offseason gets here. And even right now, they need to figure out how to move forward and continue to compete for a playoff spot. And they even came close today. It seems like, according to a lot of reports, that they were going to bring in Nikola Mirotic from Chicago, and the deal kind of fell through right at the last second. So who knows if they're going to really continue to try to be aggressive, because
I feel like that would be a great deal for them in terms of now you're putting a stretch four
with
type
Anthony
player.
Davis,
yeah, it gives you some space, allows Davis to operate inside. Bigger question, can Anthony Davis stay healthy to help New Orleans sustain, you know, what they've done up to this point and be a playoff team? I think that, to me, is the biggest question mark moving forward now.
I agree. I think if he can and if he continues playing how he plays, then that's enough. You and I kind of talked about this. If you look around the rest of the West, that's enough to keep them in the playoff picture, I think, if AD can stay healthy. And who knows, maybe by the time we're done taping this, they've added reinforcements, and that would be great because, again, you hate to see a team and a player like Run DMC suffer something like that. But Boogie, you know, he's a guy behind the scenes who everyone speaks very highly of, and you hate to see that. But I'm now excited to see what Anthony Davis does with this team basically on his shoulders. I mean, you've got Drew Holiday and Rajon Rondo and other guys, but even more is going to be asked of Anthony Davis now.
All right, and real quick thought on Robertson. I think huge impact for Oklahoma City because of what he does defensively. I mean, offensively, he's a non-factor. He can't shoot free throws, struggles with his jump shot, but he is a guy that impacts the game so much defensively. You know, and there were a ton of numbers over the weekend just in terms of the on-off, you know, net rating when he's on the floor with Melo, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Steven Adams, and when he's off. And some of those numbers were absolutely staggering in terms of the impact that he has on those other guys. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, as they've figured things out on the offensive end, it's taken them a lot longer than maybe most of us thought. They've been able to rely on their defense to hang around in the Western Conference. And now you wonder how they're going to adjust without one of their biggest defensive pieces moving forward. That being said, they're only a half game back of Minnesota in the Western Conference standings, and I believe that they have won 7 straight games. So even without Robertson, Sunday against Philadelphia, they still found a way to win that ball game and keep things rolling. We'll wrap things up now with topic number 3. The All-Star lineups have been announced. And, you know, obviously with DeMarcus Cousins going down, that changes things a little bit, and we just get word that John Wall is going to miss the All-Star game as well. So you've got some changes, and we don't know who the replacement is yet for John Wall, but we've got the framework of the rosters, and we get to have a little fun with this. Team LeBron and Team Steph Curry. So as we looked at those rosters, both of us started thinking about crunch time lineups and how you're going to close the game out. So I will let you pick what team you want. You can either have Team LeBron or Team Steph, and give me your crunch time lineup.
I'll take Team Steph, and here's what I've got. So we're talking the final 5 minutes or right around there. I don't know how you defend these shooters that I'd throw out there. My backcourt would be Steph Curry, James Harden, Klay Thompson. You can mix and match those guys basically. If you want Harden to be the primary ball handler, Steph can also do that. And then the front court is undersized but very versatile, and two just defensive bulldogs, Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green.
All right.
So that's kind of my yin and yang in terms of shooters who can absolutely spread you out and light up the scoreboard, and then hopefully two guys who are really going to not be bothered getting their hands dirty defensively.
All right. I am going to destroy you in the final 5 minutes of this game. I've got LeBron James, Kevin Durant in my backcourt. And if you're going small, that means I'm going to counter by going a little bit bigger.
You get the advantage going second here. That I will admit that, but we'll see.
I will have Russell Westbrook out there as well. So, you know, already you've got a little bit of size because LeBron is the biggest thing in the world. Then I'm going to have Kristaps Porzingis and Paul George. So with Porzingis, you've got shot blocking, rim protection. With George, you've got the ability to switch out on the perimeter. Westbrook, I know he's not a great defender, but with his speed and everything,
he's a motivated defender, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I was really hoping that you were going to put Joel Embiid out there for those final 5 minutes. And then obviously, you know, when you talk about size with LeBron James and Kevin Durant, I mean, my team is going to be big. And so if nothing else, they will just play keep away from your team for the final 5 minutes after they score. But in terms of this format and how the rosters and everything have gone down, I think there were a lot of question marks going in. And how was this going to work? Will it really change things? Will people really be interested in it? And, you know, just exercises like this, I think, are a lot of fun in terms of, you know, what could these lineups look like, and why, you know, and seeing that, hey, you've got Kevin Durant and LeBron James together in that backcourt, or you know, you've got James Harden and Kyrie Irving, you know. So you see some Team USA ties, but to be able to see these guys together in this type of a format, I think is going to be a ton of fun. And, you know, whatever, the draft wasn't televised. I think there was a lot of hoopla going on that everybody wanted it televised. Some people did, some people didn't. I think next year it probably will end up being televised, but the fact that it wasn't this year doesn't take anything away from me anyway in terms of debating these rosters and talking about crunch time lineups.
No, I agree. I think people have had a ton of fun already. Even like right when the lineups came out, everyone said, well, this team is much better, more talented. Or
hold on, the story, we got to bring it up. I don't know if it's true or not, but story about Russell Westbrook thinking that he got picked last. Did you hear this?
I did not.
So Rachel Nichols had this on Twitter, and I'm sure she talked about it on The Jump too, but when Westbrook was shown the roster, he was last.
Oh, he's at the bottom of the roster,
and
sure.
He thought he got picked last, and the guy who was in front of him was John Wall on that team. And now it just so happens that that night Oklahoma City was playing Washington. Westbrook thinks Wall got taken ahead of him, comes out and absolutely destroys the Wizards, puts up a season-high 48 points, and when he was asked about it afterwards, he said, yeah, I thought I was picked last. And somebody said, no, it was just alphabetical order. So Wall came before Westbrook, and he was like, huh.
The more you know.
So, I don't know, you know, and I don't know how much of that was embellished and how much of it was Westbrook just having fun. But already I think we've had some great stories surrounding All-Star Game.
Well, even you have guys like Karl Anthony Towns, who he basically said he's just happy to be an All-Star, and you got to see the cool reaction from he and his family. And guys like Kevin Love, who said, hey, if I was the last pick, I'm cool with that. That's fine. So, yeah, it makes for a lot of different fun discussion topics and storylines.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of Wolvescast Audio on Demand. The All-Star break coming up February 16th through the 18th in Los Angeles. We'll talk to you again next week. Don't forget, check us out on Amazon On Demand, on your Echo unit, on your Dot unit. Just say, hey, Alexa, play podcast Wolvescast, and you'll get the latest episode right there on demand. We're also on Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and, of course, Timberwolves.com. For Cal Soderquist, I'm John Fokey. Talk to you next week right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.